It's close enough.
Are you Koopa King 69?
Maybe. You got something for me?
Yeah, I got it. 100% pure cheesy gordita crunch. Go ahead, check the freshness.
All right, looks in order.
You got my shrooms?
A deal's a deal. Straight from the secret stash of a Morton Hoof himself.
Oh man, no way! Can't wait to dive into this!
If you're interested, I got a little something extra I can throw in free of charge. May just make your night more interesting.
Alright, I'll bite. What do you got?
Only one of the trippiest, batshit crazy movies you'll ever see.
Super Mario Brothers? What's so crazy about a cartoon for kids?
This ain't that cartoon crap. This is the good shit. Circa 1993 live action, baby. You watch this thing after taking some of them shrooms I just gave you, you'll swear you went to Koopa World for real.
No shit. Well, alright, I'll take it. Hell, you only live once, right?
Good choice. Have fun, Mario.
It's Dave, actually. But what the? Where'd he go? Huh, that's strange. Well, whatever. I got my shrooms, and I got a bootleg copy of Super Mario Brothers to trip out to. Speaking of which, might as well take one of these bad boys right now. Watermelon. Okay. By the time I get back to the store, this will have kicked in, and I'll be right as rain. Whoa. Did I just warp?
It's me, Ryan. Waha!
Ryan? What are you doing here? Oh, wait. You must be here to watch the movie with me. Now everything's making sense.
It's me, Michael.
Mike! You're here too?
It's me, Nick.
Oh, this is great. Oh, you brought a portable DVD player that's shaped like a turtle. Awesome! Oh, all my friends are with me in this totally non-scary trip I'm having. This is too cool. Say, you guys want to watch Super Mario Brothers? Perfect! Let me just bonk this DVD player on here. There we go. Nothing like getting high and watching a weird movie with your friends. Oh, who could that be? Cody? Jackie? That you? Oh no. Oh god, no! This is a bad trip. I'm having a bad trip, man. Turn it off! Turn it off! Oh no! Oh god, no!
This ain't no game, Dave.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Thank you. feeling we're not in Brooklyn no more.
They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Ah! Anna! Maria! Luigi!
They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess and a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
That gives anyone who possesses it the power to rule the universe.
Get me the rock!
Come and get it, lizard breath!
Must rescue the princess.
Luigi!
Alien species escaping.
And make it safely back.
Later, alligator.
To our world.
Are you alright?
Before time runs out.
Save him!
Mario Brothers, this ain't no game.
Guys, before we get started with the movie today, I want to ask you one question. It occurred to me while we were watching the film. Do you pronounce it Mario or Mario?
Well, being, you know, I go Mario, but I can see
Mario.
If you're from, you know, the East Coast, you may go Mario.
Bullshit.
Well,
no, that is unacceptable because, like, I get some people on the East Coast are named Mario and they call themselves Mario, but Mario says, it's a me, Mario.
Yeah.
He does not say, it's a me, Mario.
So I'm going to go a little different.
What about before
approach
he spoke,
here.
You know?
I think I go Mario instinctively, but sometimes I do make a conscious effort to say Mario just because Mario. I like to change it
I kind of like
bit.
I mean I
and it, I think it adds an emphasis.
I think it is Mario, but I like people that say Mario. I think it's cute.
I like the way Mario sounds.
Well, I had a he wasn't really a cousin, but he was like a family friend cousin, you know, like someone who's been around, and his name was Mario. But
okay.
Some
take
those
it,
Italians.
Mike.
Well, this ain't no game, fellas. We're talking about Super Mario Brothers, and I just want to clarify: we're not talking about the Super Mario Brothers movie. We're talking about Super Mario Brothers, the 1993 cult classic.
The original.
It's kind of. I would say it's become a cult classic.
Has it become a cult classic?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like. What's before cult classic? Like, still, it's still
a fungus it's still that's working. Growing into
Ryan,
a
cult yeah, it's still classic. A fungus that's growing.
I gotta say, Ryan and I saw this in a theater in Bartertown, and it was a sold out like crowd. And
oh, really?
Hooting and hollering. People loved it.
I think people walked out of there floating. I think people were like, "Damn, that was better
than
I remember."
Don't make them like this anymore.
Well, yeah. We should also note that recreational marijuana is legal in Bartertown. just unrelated
there's,
note.
But. There's a lot of stuff legal in Bartertown.
This was a movie where I mean, speaking of like mushrooms and all that stuff, this is a movie like you take your edible right before you go in or at the start of the movie, and then right as they go into Koopa World or whatever is when it probably
it kicks in,
and that's when the movie gets really, really weird. Not just like awkward, cringy comedy, but weird sets and weird characters and weird situations, and that's probably this is I will say we'll get into my thoughts overall on the movie and everyone's thoughts, but this is definitely you're taking an edible movie mm-hmm. type of thing.
I think,
or you're taking
think
an edible before
like,
you watch it.
There's a lot of like places we can start with this movie. I wanna say something.
How did this come into being? It's a miracle this exists.
Miracle is one way of putting it, but I do think some.
What's the name of a bad miracle? As Jordan Peele might say.
Yes, it's a bad miracle. Oh, God. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No. I think that like it's important to remember. So this is 1993. So they're like making this in like 90. You know, probably some of the production is you know before 93 even. And the
not really any video game movies yet.
well,
of note,
the,
right?
The state of Mario, like the Mario franchise, oh, yeah. A lot of like what we know as of Mario wasn't a thing yet. Like Mario 64 hadn't even come out. Like Princess Peach, I don't think, was like a character yet. Like it was still like Toadstool. And
Princess
like,
Toadstool.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of lore or ideas really to work with. Like if you just looked at, if all you knew about Mario, wipe your memory banks clean of Mario, and you just see like Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, and like maybe some Super Mario
think,
World in there.
Yeah, a couple of
well,
lands.
Super Mario
I think.
World. That's
wait,
where the dinosaur
wait,
stuff
hold on.
Land, I would say. You know,
there's the something I think you're totally. There's a cartoon.
Yeah, and live 89. Action intervals with in that too.
Okay, but I'm thinking, wow, I would not consider those canon. So I'm thinking,
okay,
like,
this is canon,
everyone,
though.
Everyone,
there's
push
still,
the glasses
still,
up on your nose.
They're still like seeping into the, you know, the collective conscious of what Mario is.
But I think
like,
I think
you,
everyone
yeah, I'm sure
didn't really. It's all different though. I think there's no consistency with through
yeah,
all those things.
Like now there's definitely like an idea of like what Mario is more so than there was.
Oh,
then, is kind of my point.
Okay.
That show you're talking about, live action show, is not that different in tone than this movie is.
Yeah, like that they had like wasn't there like they were like hosts almost for the cartoon.
Yeah, it was like
right?
Captain
yeah.
Albano or whatever, like, hey, it's me, Mario.
They're like wrestlers like, or something, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that different really from the live action portrayal we get here. So I just want to say this movie is like undoubtedly insane, but I think there's like some reason why why it is so like nuts.
Well, okay, so I have a question because I think the way I don't think it's that insane, honestly. So I'm wondering what is the really big difference between this and like Ninja Turtles, Double Dragon, Short Circuit? Like what is really putting this like I don't get it.
I would propose that the plot of this movie is not insane. Like you can follow the plot
kind of
the movie. Well,
why did she say the plot, Dave?
Okay, so this movie begins with some narration. It's the Jurassic... Well, I don't know about the specific... It's millions and millions of years ago when dinosaurs roamed the Earth.
Maybe it's Cretaceous or
Cretaceous or Jurassic. I don't know exactly what period it is. But anyway, dinosaurs are roaming the Earth. A meteorite comes in and somehow creates like a rift.
Like another dimension.
Another dimension, like when it impacts on Earth. And now, so basically you have two sides. You have this one dimension where dinosaurs lived and eventually evolved into what look like human beings and can talk and whatnot.
Lizard people,
the Republican Party. And then the other dimension, our dimension, where everything, you know, just, you know, evolved from mammals and all that stuff.
Just kind of, I feel like that's maybe like before, that was someone's idea before it was a Mario movie, I think. You know,
I'm thinking part of this might like Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo was kind of the last big game that would have come out in the Mario, you know, video game franchise. And that game is pretty heavy on the dinosaur stuff. Like,
oh, yes. And then, I mean, there was always always Koopa, you know, and he's kind of dinosaur-y, you know, there was always the spiky mm-hmm. things that are sort of like, you know, does anybody know what that dinosaur is that had like the big like turtle shell with like the... I always thought it was cool. What is that?
It's the Godzilla monster, isn't it? Ankara.
I don't know. You know,
is that the one where it's like?
Yeah, that's the sound it makes.
Sorry.
Were you doing the boss fight music for
yeah.
Mario?
Although I guess that music could apply to one of many bosses in Super Mario 2. But...
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think there was always sort of like a reptile thing. I think that's someone grasped onto that. Like there's some yeah. sort of like I don't know what is like the Goombas are kind of
Well, this is getting into the minutiae of the movie. Let's finish off the yeah. plot synopsis real quick. So anyway, now there are two different dimensions, one formerly dinosaur dimension and one human dimension. We follow our characters Mario and Luigi as they are New York plumbers who are down on their luck. They can't get a job. They're always getting scooped by other plumbers.
The Scapelli brothers.
The Scapelli brothers. who are running to the Scapelli brothers are kind of set up as little mini bosses, you could say, in the beginning of the movie. This corporate outfit who's trying to shut down this dinosaur bone digging site, which I guess is right across the bay from the World Trade Center and down in Manhattan and all that stuff. And while all this is going on, we have two weirdos, one of which is Fisher Stevens. The other is played by the guy who steals Ferris Bueller's car in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Spike and I don't remember the other guy's name.
What's his name on, what's Fisher Stevens' name on Succession? He's,
Hugo.
Hugo, yeah.
We'll just call him Hugo. Spike and Hugo. Although I would be surprised if Fisher Stevens' name in the movie was Spike, but whatever.
There's a, not to derail this episode, but there's a great Columbo episode where he's the villain. He's a great villain.
Fisher Stevens. Yeah. Must have been one of the 80s ones. Anyway, these two goofballs are trying to find... Oh, well, I skipped over a whole bit. So after...
Daisy.
Daisy. God, this freaking movie. There's so much weirdness going on. So after we establish... Nick's just dying right now. After we establish that there are two different dimensions, we open with one of the most bizarre... Something you wouldn't expect to see when you're going... I'm sure when you're in a theater in 1993 going to see Super Mario Brothers. You see a baby being left at the stoop of a church. And it's not an ordinary baby.
It's a box and it's an egg.
It's an egg inside. Oh, well, I guess I should rephrase. It's an egg and then it starts to hatch and it appears to be a human baby inside.
Which
and
is really funny because the baby is obviously bigger than the egg was.
Exactly. Yeah. but the editing in this is so bizarre. And, like, it cuts to, like, the stained glass of the church and you're like... What weird religious symbolism is Mario Brothers putting in? Like, what is happening right now? I did not expect to see religious symbolism in a Mario Brothers movie.
What's
kind of
funny is I feel like no one would have thought twice, even when they were in, because no one knows what Mario really is. You know, it's like
it's a clean slate.
I don't know. I think I don't know. I saw it
as long as they're plumbers, we don't care.
Yeah.
You saw this back in the day, Ryan?
I did see it. I can't remember exactly what I mean. I watched it. I felt like I never owned it, but it was on TV a lot, I feel like. And
I
then
swear I've seen this before, too, on like the TV, just at least in cuts or whatever as a kid.
Yeah. And I saw it, and I don't think we walked out of there like, oh, what a piece of shit. That wasn't Mario. We're just like, no, that was Mario. That was weird. Like, but it was just like we had enjoyed. We talked about Luigi Mario for my whole life. Like my whole life.
Name?
Mario.
Last name?
Mario.
Okay, what's your name?
Luigi.
Luigi, Luigi?
No, Luigi Mario.
Okay, look, how many Marios are there between the two of you?
There's three. There's Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
Mike! Up these Marios around the side.
We were just saying, like, that was what we grasped. That was what stuck out the most. And then also, I think the baby that was left at the nuns' sanctuary or seminary ends up being Samantha Mathis, Daisy. And I think it, realizing watching this movie again, I'm like, I think this was an awakening for me. I think this she's such a mega babe, I would say. And I probably latched onto that, I think, too.
Mega
Maybe babe
a reason
here
why is. Ryan is attracted to Terra people in his current life.
I think the megaist babe in this movie is John Leguizamo.
They both are. I think they're both like her. They're kind of like little meet cute and stuff. I think it's very sweet, and I think the actors do really well. I think it's
the
like
meet. All right, we'll have to discuss the meet cute in a second, but let's finish up the synopsis. So we just want to jump right into the craziness. So Daisy is left at this church, and she has this necklace on with this little piece of meteorite, and that will become key because that little meteorite is desired by King Koopa, played by Dennis Hopper, excuse me, who looks very much like Donald Trump in this movie. I gotta imagine that was kind of deliberate, right down to the tan.
Oh, he's 100% playing Donald Trump.
But anyway, he desires that because he wants to connect that to the piece of meteorite that fell centuries ago in an effort to merge their two worlds together, because evidently Koopa World just sucks ass.
The Republicans ruined the planet in Koopa.
It basically looks like Dennis Leary's underground dwelling in Demolition Man. Exactly like that. And these movies came out the same year, too.
That's another
gotta
one.
Wonder.
Nick, you were talking about all like the things that this movie kind of looks like a little bit. And yeah, that's another one. Demolition Man. You were saying, what, like, you know, Ninja Turtles and... Yeah.
Demolition Man was a big one I was thinking of, too. Maybe a little bit like... The Arnold Schwarzenegger Total Recall a little bit.
Instead of rat burgers, they serve what look like cockroach burgers or hot dogs or something like that.
I'm gonna throw in another thing. This reminds me of Blade Runner.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely.
Yeah, it has that whole sci-fi dystopian Blade Runner Ghost in the Shell kind of vibe. Just a little bit wackier.
Sci-fi dystopians, what you think of in 1993 when you hear Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. But anyway.
These are all sets.
I
read a little bit and I was like, I think Dave is coming from the place of the people who hate this movie the most. Is like, you are anchored to the Mario image of...
I'm not saying that. We'll get to what I said. I will get to my thoughts on this movie.
But when we're watching this, I'm just thinking, like, wow, these are all, like, beautifully designed sets. Like, this isn't Atlanta.
There's a little bit of, like, I feel like it's not very, I mean, it's awesome, but it's, like, everything out there. Someone puked, like, a lot of interesting stuff, you know?
high camp, I believe.
Well, before we start puking out weird creative sets, let's finish off this synopsis already. You guys are like two dogs that are at the dog park. Guys are dogs at the dog park who are just rearing to get in there and play around. But anyway, so with those two goons I mentioned earlier, played by Ferris Bueller played by guy who stole Ferris Bueller's car and Fisher Stevens, they kidnap Daisy, take her into the other world, but they fail to realize that they don't have the
rock.
Meteorite rock. And so Mario and Luigi jump in after her, and thus ensues a crazy, wacky adventure in Koopa. Is it Koopa Land? Like Koopa World?
New Koopa? Or New like Koopa? Or...
Anyway,
Neo
yeah,
Koopa?
They go into Dennis Hopper's real weird world, this weird trash world to rescue her, and that's basically the movie.
Hey, Koopa.
All right, now let me take your leashes off, guys. All right, now roam free, guys.
I'm trying to find out what the hell it's called, because it's something I'm weird.
I think
right off the bat, though, we're introduced to Koopa World, and there's already like immediately there are things that are, I think, like cool world building stuff, like the voting propaganda stuff is so funny.
Yeah.
It's like there's one of him kissing
a
baby.
Vote Koopa or die or whatever.
Yeah, that stuff is really funny and it's so over the top.
Dennis Hopper's constantly washing his hands.
What's the thing that they're dealing with, like the big problem? So is it
the fungus?
The fungus, yeah. Which I guess is like they're trying to think of like mushrooms, like mushrooms, fungus.
Well, and that's the weird thing. So to speak to your point earlier, Nick, about like this is just Dave hating this movie. He's just like all the haters. I'm just coming at it from the point of view of like trying to figure out how this movie came into. I guess I'm just amazed at how this came into being, what they chose to take from the games, and how they chose to implement it in the movie is just a wonder to me. And a big part of that goes to the fungi and the mushrooms. It's like, what if it was like this disgusting fungus that covered this trash town? It was sentient.
And it gives you these little like it gives you items, right? And
yes.
But like, and then when it gives them the bomb, I'm like, this movie just skips like steps in absurdity, like to have this little thing trinket just.
The funny thing is that bomb is like the most Mario thing in the whole movie.
Yeah, it is.
You know, can I say real quick, I was disappointed with the size of the explosion of the Bob bomb. They were building that up so much, and it seemed a little cheap to me.
You want like a nuclear bomb going
I wanted
off.
Something, well, because everyone in the city was like, oh my God, it's a Bob bomb! Shit! Like, this guy crashes his car to avoid it. Dennis Hopper just looks like he shit his pants when he sees it. Like, you wouldn't.
I think that's the whole point. Like, that's why it's supposed to be funny, right? Because everybody's
and it's
reacting
this
way.
Explosion.
And everybody knows what it is. So it's clear, like, these are things that are in the world. But I think another movie that this reminds me of is David Lynch's Dune, in a way.
Yes,
in terms
I
of the absurd or, like, drastically, like, crazy
disgusting
visualization.
Visuals.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think I think it was funny because in privately, Dave had said or that this might be like a Southland Tales for Mike. And I think I'm like somewhere in the weird middle where I don't necessarily think this is a great movie, but I actually think it's a really interesting movie. And it's like a really good watch that for that reason, because it's doing all these
yes.
very strange things that are just like, I don't know, it's really going for it.
Preach. Yeah. That's how I feel. Like, yeah, to be clear, like I was comparing this to like Blade Runner. This is not Blade Runner, like, to be clear. But it's such an interesting, I hesitate to say it's like a failed mess, but it is a,
it's a failed mess.
It's, well, there's so- I don't know. I think it like,
it's a mess for sure.
It's like not quite like watching a car crash, but it's like watching, I don't know, like, something weird that
it's almost
kind
like
of wonderful.
It's almost it, like untethered imagination, like bizarre, like I think one, I don't remember who mentioned it, but like someone just puked out their thoughts and yeah. this was well, kind of the result.
The other thing that it's, I think, depending on your perspective, is an advantage or disadvantage to the movie, but it kind of just doesn't care about telling you some or like making sense in some ways. Like, okay, here's a scene that
it's
do not understand. There's a scene I don't understand at all, and it's when Luigi and Mario they're at like this edge or whatever, and Luigi's like, I'm a jump. And I don't even know why they're doing this, but he's like, oh, trust me, you know? So he jumps, and somehow he tricks Mario into thinking he's floating. And
well, he doesn't know he's floating, I guess.
Exactly, and then Mario like goes to jump, and then Luigi's like, "I was just kidding." But he like waits until he
he realizes that he's hooked on to like a thing. He
realized that
him.
he
realizes,
he
"Oh shit, I was
hook.
Caught on like a hook or something."
He thought he was floating. I guess.
Oh, so Luigi was mistaken.
Yeah.
Oh,
you thought Luigi's like, "I'm gonna kill my fat brother Mario."
I was like, "What the hell is he doing?" I didn't understand. I thought they were just making an excuse to get Mario to jump. And have a fun
burn
guy
in hell,
trampling.
Mario.
Well, there was a whole like trust.
I thought
fungus
Luigi
thing
was planning
jump.
The prank. I thought he planned that.
No, it was just like you
that's
see.
Something you do at the beginning of the movie when you're like, look at these two crazy characters. Like, in fact, like that was I think once they go into Koopa Town, as crazy as it is, I don't know if I want to say I got on board with the movie, but I was like, I feel like I internally adjusted enough to get to an. To watch the movie, because going into this, I had seen this movie before, and my memory of it was that it was unwatchable. But that is definitely not the case. This is a watchable movie. I think the most cringy elements of the movie are probably before they go to Koopa World. Like, to me, the humor in the beginning in New York is so damn cringy. And, you know, and this could vary for you, obviously, depending on your humor barometer. But for me, it was in the red. It was dire. I'm like, this humor is terrible. And when a comedy isn't working for you, it's like doubly bad. So.
I think it played pretty well with like an audience of, you know, maybe not entirely sober people.
That is probably a big factor as well.
And it's like kiddie kind of like stuff, too. I mean, there's like, I don't know. I remember thinking it was like fun. I don't know.
Yeah, like, and I think, like, for me, too, I got a kick out of the beginning. It was kind of carrying me a bit, just the whole, like, this is a Mario movie? Like, like that, just the thought of, like, just whatever is happening on screen and thinking, like, you know, Mario. Like, it was just, like,
you know.
So
it was so funny that itself carried it for me.
I think I'm with Dave, because before they go to Koopa World, I was like, what are we watching here? Like... I liked two things were kind of sustaining me through that beginning part was One, I loved that they were real life plumbers. I thought that was just an amazing choice. And then two, Bob Hoskins just was like saving it. Like he's just an amazing actor, and he brought. I think I might argue like he's the one that kind of made this movie for him and Dennis Hopper.
You don't think John Leguizamo was fun?
Not really.
No, I thought he was a charming presence. Nick.
No, I didn't hate Leguizamo, but it was all Hopper and Hoskins.
Yeah, like I mean, he was. I didn't like. I said. I think Dave and I are probably the same on that. That part end, but yeah, it's hi Bob Hoskins. Just I don't know, his voice, his demeanor. It just worked. I love like a kind of a curmudgeon-y Mario. Like that's so funny.
It definitely felt like I got the sense that he had no idea what was going on, Bob Hoskins, during the production. He's like, I guess I'll just play my Eddie Valiant character. No,
but he's there. I feel like they're going like they don't. There's all those stories that like they were all drunk the whole time, blah blah blah. I feel like they're all put everything they could at it.
Wait. I've never heard this story. What?
There's like a story that him and like Leguizamo were just like wasted like during.
There's like to the point where like the scenes where they're like driving the van, they like crashed the van because they were drunk driving. And
but like I feel like they're still like putting like Hoskins especially like
they're not calling it in.
They believe what they're seeing. Like they're not like saying like this is bullshit, you know? Like
we've kind of said this before, but it's just like there were actual sets, there were actual creatures that they were seeing in front of them. So I'm sure in their drunk state they're like, this is so weird, John. I mean Luigi.
Well, okay, so I think that's a perfect segue for the Goombas because we started talk about them, but we didn't really talk a lot about it. And Goombas,
I don't know what that is, but
that is like that is an abomination.
Yeah. That might be the single most insane choice. Like, if you're out there on the waste, like you've probably seen a Goomba in Mario. It's if you're
out
of, like
the,
waste. The first
a little pancake first, thing with feet.
Yeah, think of the first Mario game.
I always thought like it's just like it's an evil mushroom. That's kind of always what I thought they were. Like, did you ever think of what a Goomba is when you, like what it is in a Mario game? I always kind of that. My thought was like that's just like a moving evil mushroom.
I didn't think of it. I thought of it. It's a Goomba. It's like the little. It is what it is. Like I didn't think there was a analogy or anything.
Mm, okay.
It is a Mario creature, but it is mushrooms shaped. I wonder if they're maybe like to save
little
memory
penis
on those
heads,
old games like
you know?
Use. Well,
I never questioned it as a kid. I just played the game, loved it. I never. It's an odd thing, maybe that can only happen as a kid. But I never questioned what are these weird penis head looking things with feet walking around? Why is there now like turtles? Like what?
Yeah,
like,
but
I never questioned the world
of
Mario
Brothers.
Maybe
you should describe. Maybe you should describe for the folks now that they know what a Goomba is. How are the Goombas portrayed in this movie?
They are giant. Well, no, they are former people.
They're people.
Well, this is what's so funny.
De-evolved to be gigantic, like, you know.
They de-evolve like their brain or
their
head.
Brain.
Yeah.
So, and they turn their head into like a dinosaur head, and they basically lumber
really
around
tiny.
In these giant suits.
Yeah.
It's so funny
tiny
because...
head on a big lurching body, and then they're really dumb because they're de-evolved.
But there's a whole thing. There's a thing in the movie where, like, when Toad gets turned into a Goomba, I don't know how to explain this, but he's coming up from after being de-evolved, right? He's got the little head. But then when it cuts and he's standing up, he's so much bigger. So he, like, it's nonsense, but he's just like, now he's a big, giant body and then, like, a little head. It's so funny.
We should point out that Toad is a character that Luigi and Mario meet in Koopa Town or whatever, and he is, like, a protest song guy. Like, he's got his harmonica, he's got his guitar, he's just like, Koopa sucks, you know?
Hey, guys. Cheer up.
Things will get worse.
Ain't got no water anywhere. Food's bad. So's the air. Got no resources. In a great big stupor. All because of the evil King Koopa.
You know the law, Toad.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't arrest a guy that's just singing a song.
For anti-Koopa songs, we can.
And then ACAB, the cops come along, and you know it's definitely like
you can't arrest us for being plumbers. Oh, there were several lines in this movie that I wrote down in my notes, like in all caps, plumber alert. was one of them.
Oh yeah, that was so funny. And then they're like, oh, they're just a loudspeaker, right? You're like, they're looking for plumbers.
It's also funny to know, we should mention that as far as there, like Ryan, you nailed it. There is a lot of world building going on in this movie. One of which in Koopa Town, evidently it's one of those Smurf style things where it's like, okay, so everyone evolved from dinosaurs, but for some reason they refer to everything as like a dinosaur thing. You know what I mean?
You mean like Flintstones sort of?
Well, it's like, give me a pizza with some pterodactyl things on it and mucus, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it would be like if we we evolved from apes, so it's like, give me a chimp pizza with some dingleberries that get caught up in the butts. Well, you know, put those on.
You probably have
a
weird name. I mean, we have, there's meats on our, you know, everything's from a pig or a cow, you know, so there's different names for different pieces of the meat.
But you see what I'm saying though, right? It's weird.
I think that, I guess I can't disagree with you, Dave, but at the same time, it's like it seems like a writing technique to emphasize
reinforce
the world.
The
world that you're in, okay, to remind you that, because this is the thing that like got me is like, they are dinosaur people, but it's literally just humans walking around and they're saying they're dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, there were some shots where people were literally walking around in, like, T-shirts, and I'm just like, I guess they developed into T-shirt technology.
Well,
it just seems so weird to me.
It's funny because in the very beginning, they do have, like, a montage of, I think, three shots with people with makeup on that look different, but then we don't see anyone else that looks like that for the rest of the movie. Like, they even have, like,
old ladies that, remember, pulls out, like, a gun. Oh, yeah, that's so funny. And stuff. Like, it's literally just, it's like an alternate dimension.
That's a funny sequence that, like, again, it's just so random. Like, this lady, she goes up to Mario and Luigi's like,
oh,
you don't have a weapon? This is a dangerous part of town. You got to have a weapon. And Luigi's like, oh, I don't have a weapon. She's like, good. And she pulls out a weapon. And she's like, give me your Koopa.
Are you boys new here in town?
Lady, we're looking for somebody, and we're from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, boys, it's very dangerous here in this neighborhood. You shouldn't wander around without a weapon.
Yeah.
You got one?
No.
All right. Get him up, suckers! Koopa coins! I need Koopa coins, you lame house!
And then in one of the craziest sequences of the movie, she ends up like flying over this catwalk into this car driving by below, and then she still manages to pull her weapons out. It's like, stop the car!
was anyone else thinking, like, getting flashbacks to Beau is Afraid?
I guess a little bit.
Maybe the first scene.
Oh, yeah. The city, yeah. Yeah, that lady would be a character for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's weird. It's so funny because I think that I did as a kid, I was like, well, Mario, they are pretty like colorful outdoor lands, and so I did always think like it's weird this industrial like underground thing is a weird
dystopian
choice.
Nightmare,
and I don't know, it's almost as if someone only played level 2 of Mario Bros. And so that was something that always stuck out, but like the rest of it I didn't really question. I'm like, oh yeah, there's Yoshi. Yoshi's a dinosaur. It's like, cool. I hope they get to ride. I don't get to ride him. That sucks. But oh, whatever. You know.
He did get to use his tongue power, though.
You saw the tongue, yeah. And
we should go ahead, Ryan. I want
nothing. You talked a little bit about the bomb and just like how they try to implement some Mario, iconography like that.
It's baffling. There are moments where you think it would be a bigger deal, but they use it as nothing. Like there are bits like with the music, for instance, or sound effects. Like there's a, for some reason there is a bit where they use the game over thing where it's like do 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 do, you know, the beginning of it. But it's being used as just a random computer screen sound effect. It's just like, okay.
It's just like finding a way to use it. Like, and I remember like how funny that, like, I never thought, like, questioned how Mario jumps. He just jumps. He's just a jumping guy.
That's a big
but now
component.
It's like, oh, they have to have these super. Everyone has these super boots on that make
that
them
are
jump
powered
around.
By like cartridges, like bullet cartridges.
And it's so, yeah, that, what's so funny is at the end, like they don't even like you know, the whole thing. They don't even wear them. They just use them to shoot something. You know?
That feels like a very 80s, early 90s thing where there was like gadgets that did stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of like Inspector Gadget, you know, this whole, and then like in Ninja Turtles, you had Donatello's always making gadgets and stuff like that. And I just think that was a kind of a thing back then where like,
it's a big time for gadgets.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, it's one of those tropes, I think, of that time period.
Well, the directors, they, I saw that they were like, what they were trying to go for was sort of a mix between Ghostbusters and Wizard of Oz. And Ghostbusters, if they're like trying to do something gadgets. Like that, Ghostbusters, you got a lot of gadgets in there. Like maybe this is like their proton pack is the jumping things.
Maybe the tone they're going for.
What's the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Well, them like what's, going down the
going into another dimension.
Oh, just to another. Okay.
I thought you were like, what's the Wizard of Oz?
Okay. Yeah, never heard of that.
I got to imagine that the directive on the set was more wacky. Like if you're not sure if it's wacky enough, go wackier.
But you know what? It kind of reminds me of too. Nick is the Power Rangers movie was like.
I thought the same exact thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, thought I had that exact thought when they were like they're at a dig site. That's the same thing as Power Rangers. Yeah.
The same like the quarries. You know, there's always a quarry with something they find.
Some egg in a quarry with some goop.
Yeah, that's so fun. There's so many things at that time.
Even Daisy seems like a Power Ranger character.
Yeah, she seems like that. Who
John
they find?
John Leguizamo for sure could be a Ranger.
Like what's the lady's name they find in the Power Rangers movie that has like the tubes?
The tubes?
Yeah. Remember she has like those.
Delphine, I think.
Delphine. Yeah, she kind of seems like a Daisy kind of.
Oh yeah. Thing.
Oh man, Daisy at the end coming in as Sarah Connor, that's the hottest thing that could ever happen in a movie, I feel like. I don't know if you guys are...
So this movie,
the most failed sequel setup of all time.
Well, this movie doing things I feel like either very early on or even maybe ahead of its time, but doing something like an end like that, and there's an after credits scene. Like I just let the credits run and I was on my phone. That's all. And all of a sudden there's another scene and I'm like,
you yelled at us to come into the world. Into the room, like, guys, you're going to miss it.
What's the end credit scene? I don't know if I saw that.
These Japanese representatives are talking about making a video game out of their,
we didn't see this
out of their adventures.
Yeah. Their adventures. But then it cuts and it's, what's the henchman's name? Iggy
it's
and
not
what?
Mario and Luigi they're talking
it's
to.
Iggy
we find out that it's Spike and the Ferris Bueller guy.
Oh, we're funny.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, and then they go through different names. And what do they say, Dave? Like Super Koopa Cousins?
Super Koopa Cousins or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I must say we have a very exciting proposal.
A video game based on your many adventures.
What would you call it?
Iggy's World.
The Indomitable Spike.
The Super Koopa Cousins.
So is there an idea that this movie is... The game is based off of this movie? Is that their thinking? Like,
it's a twist. Like
I know. I think that's funny. That's
instead
kind of, a
of
funny
we got
thing
a video game of the Mario Brothers, we got a video game of the Koopa Brothers.
It's kind of funny because it's almost as if like this feels like the more realistic, grounded, gritty version of the like. Mario. So they were like, we got like almost like how the Ninja Turtles got like kidified, you know, like the Mario video game is kidifying this. You know,
that's funny. Yeah, that's. I think that there are some like legit fun and smart things in this movie.
That is kind of fun. I think that's a funny way to look at it too, because they.
There's the mid-credit sequence too. That's what we saw, where they're like setting up a.
It's just
sequel,
the end of the
basically.
Movie. Yeah, it's just the end of the movie.
The mid-credits.
Yeah, it's before the credits roll.
Is it? Where
yeah,
Daisy
that's right at the end. That's not. Yeah, this one is. This one is at the very end, and it's just like
I'm false memorying.
Marvel ripped Mario Brothers off.
Yeah, they
did. Mario Brothers ripped Ferris Bueller off.
Yeah, but it's different because it's different genres and it's not based on like an IP and all that bullshit. Like this is,
and also it's okay because the guy from Ferris Bueller is in this movie.
Yeah, so it's canon.
Well, if you're talking about all these like kind of things, this sort of movie like maybe things that carried over with this movie is that there's a lot of technological movements and, you know, special effects that this movie did too. And I don't know if you guys ever seen in The Wasteland, we're getting a transmission from the past. There's the Corridor crew, our video, visual effects artists react to, and they did an episode about this movie. And a lot of techniques that are still used today, or like software developed back then, is used today. Like a lot of the morphing of like the people's faces, that was from a certain plugin that someone made for this movie that's still used today.
Then
all the stuff with like their hands sort of like
goopifying,
like fracturing, you know, kind of like that sort of snap, Marvel snap kind of thing.
That was a
crazy.
It looked okay too. Like
that
hadn't been done
in a movie.
I was kind of surprised at how good the CG held up.
I would also like to note that if you had taken a fungal mushroom and that scene happens when everyone starts merging, like that, it could blow your mind.
I love the scene where they. So there's a scene where they briefly go to New York because they merged the universes or dimensions briefly. And then
the sun out here, it's not in a garbage pile. This is amazing.
But when they reappear in Koopa World, when Dennis Hopper like reappears, his head is like spinning. It's a really cool effect. Yeah. It looks again. It's just like this weird thing that just I don't know this movie's doing.
It's kind of so, you know, at the time, you know, this is the year before or the same year as Jurassic.
Same
Park,
year
right?
as Jurassic Park.
Isn't that crazy?
Like ILM kind of has the rundown of computer graphics at this time. And so this movie is not Industrial Light and Magic. It's one of the first movies to use, like Kodak had their own film scanning software that they just came out with. And this is like one of the first movies to use it where it's like because ILM had the proprietary things of like scanning film into the computer at the time. And so they, Kodak had developed a new way of doing it. And so this is what this movie is using. And one thing that it did is like they would scan it into the computer, but the film would have like a very flat, like non-contrasty look to it for that through that process. And they're like, oh, it looks all washed out. And you might even see this now where people and what happens is a lot of cameras, digital cameras shoot that way where they're it's called logarithmic footage where they gather all this information in the picture. But it doesn't look quite right, but you have control of all the colors still. It's almost like a, and so this movie kind of was one of the first to have that logarithmic digital film, like, you know, in post. And then they developed something called a lookup table, which is basically like something they could, like a filter they could apply to all the film for it to like bring the colors back out. And that's still like, that's in my video editing software today is like that, those terms and everything. And that was all like, this is like the first motion pictures to like use it. It's pretty crazy.
So you young
stuff.
Whippersnappers out there, be thankful for the Mario Brothers movie.
Without so Mario, cool. You wouldn't have Avatar.
Yeah, right?
Avatar, Jake Sully. It all chases back to Mario.
I want to see the,
you wouldn't be in Pandora without Koopa.
The end of Babylon when it's showing all the different films that were made.
They should put Mario Brothers should have had a clip in there.
Just squeeze that one little clip and you won't even know the difference.
Yeah, like Dennis Hopper's like arms and gun getting faded away, you know.
Dennis Hopper rules.
Let's talk about Dennis Hopper.
He is a madman.
He goes for it every time.
Jesus Christ, like
so nuts.
he brings such, oh God, I just can't, I will always think of his character in Blue Velvet, and he, it's bringing the same energy to this.
Like a cocaine head energy.
Absolute psycho.
Just say like, fuck Heineken, Paps Blue Ribbon.
Fuck Heineken, Paps Blue Ribbon.
There is a moment in this movie, and I wonder if this was improvised or if it was in the script, where you have all this craziness going on, and then Koopa's like, hey, he just orders a pizza randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a pizza?
And then they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it.
Python Pizza here. May I help you?
King Koopa here.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'd like the Koopa special.
pterodactyl tail on that?
Yes. Dino, lizard, hold the mammal, no worms, and spicy.
It's the greatest payoff in the movie because it's never referenced again until the very end where he gets a phone call. He's like, you know, like, their plans are in motion, sir. Also, your pizza's here. Not now. That actually made me laugh because it wasn't referenced at all after it happens.
No, but you were getting a key scene. He's holding like this blaster or gun or flamethrower, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And he's like, and all of a sudden he's like, where's my pizza?
Muster the Goombas. End up the de-evolution guns. Prepare for destiny. Where's my pizza?
Yes. Where the hell's my pizza? That got me. That was actually funny. That was a bit of humor that worked in this movie.
That was funny. That was really, like, because it felt, I had completely forgot about the pizza.
Oh, yeah. You're not thinking about the pizza you ordered 20 minutes ago?
That's so
I'm
funny.
Thinking about the pizza now. Jeez.
Yeah, I could go for some pizza.
I wish they would have showed the dinosaur pizza or whatever. It would probably have, like, I bet it looked,
Pizza delicious. Pizza was really good in cyberpunk 90s stuff, you know, like the Ninja Turtles pizza was always real. I bet it was like really like a good, had a good pull, you know.
Okay, so there's, I think,
and it was New York.
We haven't talked about maybe my favorite scene in the movie, and that's the elevator dance sequence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This was my least favorite scene in the movie.
Really?
Well, at first I hated
until
it.
Until I realized later what they were referencing.
Oh, well, I don't know what they're referencing.
Yeah, I don't either.
You guys remember, this is a reference to Super Mario Bros. 3. You would get items throughout the game, and there was a specific item, a music box, that would put all the like the roaming Goombas or whatever to sleep. So you could pass
it?
Over them.
I think that's it. They got that from this.
It basically incapacitated. No, Mario 3 came out before this, Ryan. Don't try to rewrite the history.
That was one that I always thought was funny, too, is that making the Goombas dance.
But yeah, so Luigi, they're in a big elevator, and I think this scene is actually set up really good because it starts out even funnier because it's Luigi and two Goombas, right? And they're hiding. The Goombas are huge, so they're just hiding behind the backs. And then gradually, two more Goombas come in, and then two more again, and they keep having to like maneuver behind.
Like, where are they going? Who
yeah,
knows?
It's so funny. And then at the end, there's like eight Goombas in there or something like that, and then they're at the very back and. There's elevator music, which is funny, and then Luigi starts like swaying one of them, and it doesn't notice, and then he does it to all of them, and somehow this lets them escape.
I think it's funny
too.
I think like stuff like that, like there's little like, you know, it's very you know, kind of little short little snippets, kind of film, you know, cartoon kind of stuff like that. I thought was funny. Like I think the whole thing of them. I always thought the scene of them going down the tubes and on the with all the girls from New York was fun. I think that's a fun scene.
Well, you guys ever wondered what it looked like when Mario travels through the pipes? Well, here it is, and it's extreme.
I think I'm Luigi Mario, and I'm Mario Mario is pretty good.
I thought they were going to say something like, oh, I'm Mario brother.
Or something dumb like that. Like Mario Mario is so good.
There's like cool car. There's a cool car chase with those crazy, like they're on like little tracks or like little, like they're almost like bumper cars the way that they're set up. And that's fun. There's the weird choice. Like I think it's kind of a fun scene at the club where Big Bertha, which is a big fish in the Mario games, but now it's just it's a big woman in this that has this thing, dances with Mario, and that's a fun scene.
Wait, isn't... I'm thinking of Birdo. Is Birdo in this?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
No, Bertha, it's a big red fish.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene is great because we get... It's funny because Mario, he says to Luigi, oh, no one can resist my charm, right? And he goes to flirt with the woman, she punches him in the face, and then he goes back. He's like, punch me again.
That scene was wild. Again, like, this is the early 90s when you could have a kid's movie, but you have, like, these women, like, in, like, thongs and stuff, like, dancing around it. It's just like, what is this?
I think it's great.
More
kids should see this.
Like, there's some weird sexual bits in this movie, like just little snippets that you might not notice. Like, for instance, when they get captured by the police and they're in the police station, you see the guy like at the front desk, like giving them the rap report or whatever. And like like off screen, like you just see like this woman's like high heeled shoe come into frame and like massage the guy's neck.
Oh yeah,
with a high heel.
Yeah,
it's bizarre. Like when that happened, that was just like, oh my god, it's kicking in.
That's not in the new Mario movie.
Yeah, that's missing in the new Mario movie. You don't see people. Princess Peach isn't walking around with a thong and high heels giving Mario a massage with the tip of the heel.
Well, maybe it should, Dave. Maybe it should. These kids they're sexless movies these days.
Has everyone seen the new Mario movie?
I have not. I mean, but you're welcome to talk about it.
Really? I think this is better than the new Mario movie, I'm going to say. Like, the new Mario movie is definitely a more truthful to the source material Mario movie. Like
it's supposed to be visually really cool to look at,
right? It's really cool visually,
right?
I think.
It definitely, like, is the best looking of the Illumination films I've seen. And it's not a, like, dog turd of a movie or anything, but
from what I've heard, the main criticism is that it's kind of by the numbers and it feels like just an assortment of cut scenes from Mario games.
Well, it's, to me, I mean, I think it's an okay movie. I'm glad it's like found its audience and kids really like it and stuff. But like, for the where animated movies are these days, like I just saw the new Spider-Verse movie, and it's like it doesn't hold a candle to it as far as like story wise and just at least like what like it's not about anything really, and it kind of has it's just like there's no sense of peril, like no characters have any arcs in it really. It's just a straight up line, like, you know, it's like bad storytelling in my opinion. Like really, it's like kind of just it's like a TikTok movie.
I gotta find out how you're amassing all these credits to use the Cross Rift dimensional services to watch all these movies from other dimensions. Like I always get this stuff too late, but you're watching them like day one. You what know, the hell Jackie, is happening?
Well, that's because Ryan is kidnapping young girls who have rocks.
Oh, of course, that's when all those Brooklyn people were in the store that one day. All right, now it's all coming together.
I love that thing of like.
That's why we can't use that storage closet anymore.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins up in the vents and telling his girlfriend to like be quiet, and then his I love she turns to him, she's like, yeah, my boyfriend Mario's up there, and she goes oh Mario,
Daniela, I promise to take her to WrestleMania. My favorite line in the movie.
I just love that the way that girl's like excited to see Mario. It's like, yeah,
Mario.
she's like hasn't even met him yet, she's like, oh, that's Mario.
I will say we were mentioning references earlier and all that. I kind of got excited when they go into Koopa's, you know, World Trade Center building, and they finally put on the red and green outfits. Like, I kind of got a little excited with that hero shot when they step into the elevator. They're like, got their hands on their hips.
It's
like,
so cool.
Yeah.
It's almost like they forgot to do it. Yeah, in the movie.
Yes, it does. And that was like a month after they like, wait a minute, we never got the suits.
Because there's not even a reference to it, like, in the beginning of the movie, like, you know,
they're not even, like, wearing, like, a version of it. They're not, like, Power Rangers-ing it or anything like that. They're just, like,
they should have just, when they went to the Mushroom Land, they should have just had the suits on, like,
or something similar, maybe, you know? I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go with a more realistic, just, you know, suspender or,
Yeah, they weren't suspenders. It was like overalls, coveralls, right, or something?
Yeah, like,
what the mechanics
like
were.
Like a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it is cool, and it is almost like it is like an hour hour and 15 minutes into the movie, basically.
It's almost over.
Well, it's their morphing sequence.
Yeah. It's like they finally got all their powers, you know.
Yeah.
But are they I guess they're wearing them at the end too. One thing I've noticed, cuz I hadn't watched this probably in 20 years, but it feels like the whole kind of, if something does get dropped, it's the whole stuff going on outside in New York with like the dig site and like the business people. Because at the end of the movie, remember, like they appear there and Koopa like turns one of them into like a chimp, and it seems
it's just
like
sort of abandoned.
Yeah, it's almost like Ryan, you almost think like you'd see that another scene with those guys before.
Ryan, like, there may very well be another scene. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the Morton Jenkel cut.
What?
Man, it's a whole.
So the directors. This is a husband and wife team that only directed this movie. Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jenkel, and they are the people who invented Max Headroom.
Wow! Yeah, it all makes sense now. Where the craziness comes from?
Isn't that nuts? Yeah, so their claim to fame. I mean, they directed some cool music videos, like they did some Talking Heads video and Tom Tom Club and all that scene.
What is
but
that?
Their big thing is they invented Max Headroom. But anyway, they're you don't know. I would think
it.
Of all people
this.
Here. Nick,
if you saw an image, you would recognize it, Nick.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you never seen that imagery before?
It's kind of like it's like an 80s like sci-fi kind of I don't know, kind of ahead of its time almost, like vaporwave vibe, like glitched out. But anyway, the directors had a other cut of the movie that was cut down, you know, basically a director's cut that was like 20 so minutes longer that apparently like pushed it a little bit further into the like gritty dark territory a bit, like so I don't know what was going on in those, but I would love to see that sometime. But it might address that drop.
Yeah, I think somebody like took it and like took some cut scenes and tried to kind of like re-put it back together, almost like the original Dark Crystal cut, like a fan edit kind
yeah
of
it's
thing.
A fan edit, like there is no official version of
let's
it.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about the origins of this movie a little bit and the people who made it. Because, like, you mentioned, Ryan, like, the technical innovations that this movie had. Like, there was a ton of impressive people who worked on this movie. Like, a lot of big names. Like, one of the writers, Ed Solomon, he's one of the writers on Men in Black. The cinematographer for this movie, Dean Semler, he shot The Road Warrior, for God's sake. The music, Alan Silvestri, like the guy who did Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, like big, huge movies. And this is wild to me. This is the most wild. So this the development for this movie began when the producer, Roland Joffe, who made movies like The Killing Fields and The Mission with Robert De Niro. For whatever reason, he wanted to make a Mario Brothers movie. I don't know why, but he did. And the crazy thing is, like,
kid wanted him to make it.
That could be. That's why. Like, if you're wondering, like, how did this movie come into being? Apparently, when they were given the license for Nintendo, they were given free rein to just go crazy because they, quote, felt that the Mario brand was strong enough for experimentation. And that is the folly of Nintendo here.
Like, this explains like the origin story of why Nintendo is such a weird company. Like this movie
we cannot
them.
Let this happen again.
Maybe maybe
it is
maybe
true.
That's why we don't get all so much experimentation anymore, because this movie failed.
There's a lot of movies like this you can point to. Like, I feel like one of the last ones like this that came out, maybe like Jupiter Ascending was, I feel, a movie like this that's like an original idea that's very wild and is out there that failed miserably.
I don't know. I love that attitude from the company to say that the brand is so strong that we can experiment. Like, the closest thing I can think of, like, that's happened recently is maybe when Disney decided to do Guardians for the first time. Just the kind of the attitude is like, we can experiment. We can do something weird. Like because
maybe that Spider-Verse.
I think the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Spider-Verse, that's probably another good example too.
At least the first one. I don't know.
But at least on a technical, with animation, I would say. Because like I just watched a whole thing about that where, you know, with the every studio with India, it doesn't even matter if they're Pixar, was like, this needs to look like Pixar, like the movie. And it's photorealistic, but like the characters are a little bit all look really similar. And this is the first time they're like, what if we just don't do that and don't put things in, have things out of in focus and try different weird things.
I want to mention, Dave, you were talking about the production, and there's like a note from the Chattopedia that I wanted to highlight. So one of the original drafts of this, or the first screenplay, was written by Barry Morrow, who wrote Rain Man. And apparently that screenplay followed Mario and Luigi on an existential road trip that was so similar to Rain Man, the production title was called Drain Man.
Wow, okay.
It was described as more of a serious drama piece as opposed to a fun comedy.
You know, a thought just occurred to me, you know, we're talking about the people who made it, like Alan Silvestri. He is a great composer. Like, in my opinion, Back to the Future is one of my favorite film scores. It's a perfect film score. The last, you know, that whole sequence with the clock tower is just like a 10-minute long, just, you know, masterclass in film composing. The score for Mario Brothers, it feels like they got it on sale somewhere, like at a studio, because it feels like generic wacky music. And I think like one of the biggest things this movie does wrong is that it doesn't include the signature Mario music. Like,
the new one. It does a really good job with the music. Except for the parts when they have, like, Take On Me come in and stuff.
Well, because it's like, the you think Mario, you think, like, okay, yeah, he's a plumber. You can think of, like, pipes and stuff. But I imagine, like, for most people, one of the first things, if not the first thing that they think of is the music.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
There's so many, like, Koji Kondo. Pour one
and
out.
And to just have it in the beginning as like a throwaway reference is just like, come on, guys, that's lazy. Like, Sylvester, you couldn't have worked the Mario theme into the movie.
You know what,
like,
though? I will say, so the new Mario movie kind of, I think this is the opposite of the new Mario movie in that the score in this one is not great, but the soundtrack in this one, unlike the new Mario movie, it's like the most basic, like, they're doing a training sequence and it's like they're playing We Need a Hero. Like, it's
yeah,
like,
it really sucks.
It's like AC/DC. But this one soundtrack is like the opposite of that. We get the Divinyls covering Roxy Music. We have Joe Satriani guitar player. We have Megadeth on the soundtrack. Queen.
So much, so cool.
A great band I've never heard of before. I know one of the members, George Clinton. So the band is credited to George Clinton and the Goombas playing Walk the Dinosaur.
Nice. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, there's... In a way, if you could combine this movie with the new Mario movie, it would be like the perfect Mario movie.
But what you're saying is...
leave them to their separate places.
So maybe. What you're saying is there's two dimensions of Mario movies.
Oh, yeah. I like that. This is like a meteor hit.
Well, I'll be Coop. I'll be Dennis Hopper and try to combine them. You know, be the evil guy trying to combine the movies.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned Hopper. I'm looking in the Chattopedia. I want to bring this up. So this is under the legacy bit on Chattopedia for this movie. Hopper disparaged the production, recounting in 2008, quote, "It was a nightmare, very honestly, that movie. It was a husband and wife directing team who were both control freaks and wouldn't talk before they made decisions. Anyway, I was supposed to go down there for 5 weeks, and I was there for 17.
Jesus Christ.
It was so over budget.
That's like a third of a year. You're like,
God, it's like they're making Eyes Wide Shut or something.
He goes on, Hopper continues, "My six-year-old son at the time, he's now 18, he said, 'Dad, I think you're probably a pretty good actor, but why did you play that terrible guy King Koopa in Super Mario Brothers?' And I said, 'Well, Henry, I did that so you could have shoes.' And Henry said, 'Dad, I don't need shoes that badly.'"
That's pretty good.
End quote.
That kid is really funny. Damn.
That is, I've seen that clip. There's a, I don't know if it's out there on the Chad tubes, but that is, that's from like a late night talk show interview.
That's a really funny bit. That is really funny.
I don't need shoes. That
so you can have shoes.
I will say, Bob Hoskins like hated the movie and was like, "That's the worst thing I ever did, my biggest disappointment." But he has said that his son loves it.
Yeah. And you know what? To talk into like the legacy of this movie, I like this. The producer Joffe, who I mentioned earlier, says, "It's not that I defend the movie. It's just that, in its own extraordinary way, it was an interesting and rich artifact and has earned its place. It has a strange cult status." And you know what? You asked me earlier, Nick, what I thought about this movie, and I think that's kind of where I land. It's like, I didn't necessarily like it, but I kind of appreciate that this movie exists.
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
Yeah, this is definitely the kind of movie you could like pour a drink and just spend an evening reading the Chattopedia.
Yes.
I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm glad. I feel the same way. I don't necessarily think it's great. But I do think like it's like a it is crazy that it exists and it's gonna exist forever and it just you know weird second evolution humans in you know 500 years like when they find this thing and be like what the
and you
fuck?
Know what I think a lot of people do dislike it's part of its bad reputation is linked to its Mario property but I think I really like that it is so different than its origin
yeah Yeah, me too.
In order to like it at all, you have to take it on its own merits. You have to completely separate it from the game.
I think that it's like, it's so bizarre and there's just so much going on that, yeah, it's not a great movie, but it keeps your interest. Like, I was never bored watching
this. I'll tell you, like, I wanted to share this anecdote because I know the exact moment where my eyebrow raised and I was like, okay, maybe this movie's going to do something interesting. And it's when Mario goes through the portal. Because he's really scared to jump through because it's all rock.
Oh, God, that moment.
And the way this thing comes out is, like, he, like, kind of leans forward, and then the next shot, he's upside down. And he just falls through the
board. That shot was nightmare fuel. When he's falling through, like, the worlds, like, in between, like, that was straight up. I mean, you mentioned Wizard of Oz earlier. That was just a nightmare.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, it's Alice falling through the
oh, whole God, world. Movie could have been amazing if it was all like that, just psychedelic pipe world.
He gets trapped in the pipe in the between.
The in between,
unknowable horrors.
It's kind of the ultimate, you know. Everything's for the fans, for the fans, for the fans, and this is like, nah, fuck them.
Exactly. That's the attitude. Is like, this is not for the fans.
I like that. Not for that. Yeah, put that on the poster.
Do you think like we'll swing back around to something like? Because we're in a place right now where everything, if something breaks away, everyone goes nuts. Yeah. And
it's all about playing it safe.
I'm wondering if things will bounce back. And I don't want to spoil the new
Spider-Verse
movie, but it kind of plays with that idea. It's almost just like what it's almost like. Like, it's a major plot point almost, like the canon kind of thing. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
And I feel like this one is going to even spring another branch off of it, like the like it did already with animation. I think it's just kind of crazy. So maybe we'll go back around to it.
Yeah, I think if anything, I mean, movies like this don't always work. The ones that take a big swing, but I think it's important that, you know, because otherwise, you know, if Disney didn't take a chance on Guardians of the Galaxy, you know. I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of a similar vibe where it's just like, let's take these D-list characters that no one's on a whole has ever really heard of and make a wild, wacky movie, and it paid off. Like, sometimes you got to take big swings on new properties. Those are the things that end up becoming the long, enduring things, the ones that work, you know? They don't always work, but when they do, you get stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's, like, amazing.
Yeah, I think, like, when you think about the movie, just being glad this movie exists, because when you have movies like this that take chances like this, even if this movie didn't, you know, end up working out the best, another time it will work out and we'll get something another amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually some people find
it. Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. Later. I think that this is exactly the type of movie that I would rather watch than a normal, like, just run-of-the-mill movie that's not bad or not...
I'll take this over a Marvel movie any day.
Some of them. Most of them, probably, I think.
Well, it sounds like, I don't know, like, are these recommendations all around the board? Almost first, I guess before we get into that, or did you guys have any other closing thoughts on Super Mario Brothers?
I wish Sarah Connor, Samantha Mathis, Daisy, Princess Daisy would come into my door and take me on an adventure with her.
Mario, your evil cousin Wario is in town, and he's stealing all the plumbing jobs.
She just looks so. I love that freeze frame smile. I'm like, oh man, what a cool gal.
Well, I if we get into recommendations, I can't honestly say I'd recommend this movie, but at the same time, it's such a weird oddity. It's like you kind of have to check it out on those grounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it because it's for sure.
Yeah, like I wouldn't recommend it because it's a good movie, but I would recommend seeing it at least once just to kind of see this massive swing and a miss from this movie, you know.
I think it's one of those, like, I recommend it and I do think it's good, but in sort of like almost equal measures, I would recommend just reading the Wikipedia page for this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a fascinating. I think, like, read it and watch it. Like,
and I think having watching both movies and can really tell you a lot about where the world was at, at least with the movies wise, in 1993 and 2023, I think 30 years in between, and can really tell you yeah, what was in theaters at the time and was like an it wasn't a huge hit, but it made some money, I think. And then
Mario Brothers? No, this is a massive.
No, this was it.
I thought it did okay.
Well, it made some money. But it cost. It made some money, but it cost a lot of money too.
It was a flop,
but it made like what, like 30? No.
All right, let's give you some context. Let's go to the Chatpedia. This movie grossed $38.9 million worldwide against a budget of somewhere between 42 and 48. So this movie lost money.
You think it probably did okay, though, on video, you bet, right? Maybe?
I don't know.
I mean, I bet.
Consider the DVD is selling for $2.99, Ryan, I don't know.
Yeah, is it even on Blu-ray?
There might be a Region B, actually. I think the rights in Europe are different, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but Region B is like, they got that weird Koopa Town stuff. It's like, you know, weird. They serve you those cockroach burgers over there. Like,
yeah, they're really scaly.
You don't want to mess with Region B.
It sounds like maybe while Cody's out looking for Avatar 3, maybe he can see if there's any Mario Brothers Blu-rays out there.
I always liked the poster for this movie, too. I don't know. I think it's
this ain't no game.
I think it's a cool. I think it's cool. I was excited. I see this movie when it came out for sure. But anyway.
I think it's all like, I don't think anyone here hates the movie. Like, its reputation of like one of the worst movies ever made is not deserved.
Yeah, it's certainly not the worst movie ever made. It's just bafflingly
baffling.
I think
movies
it belongs in the same class as some of the other cult classics. I think Mario Brothers just has a badder rap for some reason. At least anecdotally, that's always the way it seems. But it's certainly like I think it's fun, and there's definitely like a lot of stuff going on here that puts it on par with a lot of other movies that are beloved. So I like it just enough.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of excited now to sort of like I want to do a deep dive. Maybe not all at once because I don't know if my heart could take it. But I kind of want to do a deep dive for other similar movies that were huge box office bombs but were movies that took a big swing. You know what I mean? Like maybe I should rewatch Jupiter Ascending, for instance.
Cutthroat Island?
Cutthroat Island. No, I saw that too recently.
Yeah. I wish I loved Jupiter Ascending, but I don't. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
I feel like
Heaven's Gate
so
would be one to watch, or Ishtar, these huge box
Ishtar's
office
good.
Bombs.
Check out
Ishtar's
Ishtar.
Good?
Ishtar's good.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out now after watching Mario Brothers.
Ishtar.
Yeah, that
maybe we'll have a whole series on the show, Box Office Bombs.
I feel like we've done a lot of those. Bro.
I know.
I like the idea of that.
I kind of think Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Part 1 was a lot
about
of
like
box office.
How about something like Reclaimed Bombs or something like that? Like movies that are sort of like, I think Ishtar's a good one for it.
Yeah,
I think people now realize like, oh, that was a good movie.
You should do movies that you like want to get a second look, like reconsidered.
Well, maybe next summer that'll be the theme. Box office bombs. I don't know. We'll work on
bombs.
Box office bombs.
The bombs.
I don't know. We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. But next summer we'll definitely take a big swing. We'll take as big a swing as Mario Brothers took.
We're already planning the next summer film fest.
What else do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, what else do we have to go on? Like, come on, we have so little in the wasteland. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Left Pockets Video, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to go jump in that big pipe and do some sewer surfing.
Big
we'll
apple.
See you next time.
Too late, humans!
Sir, your pizza's here!
Not now.